Other common methods of entry into global markets include licensing, indirect exporting, joint ventures, and direct ownership and production abroad. Licensing. According to the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary, licensing is paying a fee for permission to manufacture and sell a product created by another. The licensor, the manufacturer, agrees to allow a foreign company, the licensee, to use its manufacturing process, patents, trademarks, and trade secrets to create their product. The licensor receives a fee or royalty when products are sold. Franchising and management contracts are both forms of licensing. Indirect exporting. This method of entry is typically used by organizations that prefer to focus on their domestic markets or don't have the internal resources to market their products abroad. Export trading companies, ETCs, and export management companies, EMCs, can assist in these efforts. The basic difference between an EMC and an ETC is that an ETC buys the goods from the organization and resells them, hopefully at a profit, while the EMC acts like an organization's foreign sales department and operates on commission. ETCs are typically very large organizations with a presence in multiple countries. Dealing with an ETC is essentially a domestic transaction. The Japanese term for ETCs is Sogo Shosha, a term that is relevant because the major ETCs are Mitsubishi, Misu, Itachu, Marubeni, and Sumitomo. All were formed to handle Japan's export needs during the reconstruction period after World War II. Today, they dominate the ETC business and all are multinationals. Smaller ETCs tend to specialize. ETCs can leverage a great deal of knowledge on buyers and sellers and find matchups to satisfy unmet needs. However, customers abroad are effectively the ETC's customers, not the manufacturer's customers. EMCs are considered a type of agent and are typically small organizations located in the exporting country. Using an EMC is a great strategy for a novice exporter because it acts like the export department for you and their other clients. The EMC assumes all of the risks and complexities of the export transactions. They tend to specialize in one country and in one type of market. Organizations with successful exports sometimes acquire the EMC if they wish to grow the market, since the EMC has the contacts and country-specific expertise. There are also two ways in which firms can piggyback with their suppliers in an indirect exporting arrangement. An exporter can ask one of its less established suppliers or another company making a complementary product to sell the product in the foreign market. Exhibit 7-9 shows an example of an organization that establishes an overseas plant and then asks its supplier to supply that plant as well. The supplier can be said to be piggybacking on their customer's export arrangements. A firm that has set up a production facility in a foreign market can ask its suppliers to supply assembly pieces and service customers needing spare parts. In essence, the suppliers end up selling the product. Exhibit 7-9, piggybacking, joint ventures. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines a joint venture as an agreement between two or more firms to risk equity capital to attempt a specific business objective. Once the organizations accomplish the specific business objective, such as a large construction project, the joint venture ends. When joint ventures are used to enter a foreign market, this can be done to minimize foreign investment exposure, to offer a complementary line of products between the organizations, to help improve the international experience of a minority local partner for ease of doing business, or to comply with partial local ownership requirements. This last reason is less common due to some very large organizations resisting this form of government intrusion, and many countries have backed away from local ownership requirements. Joint ventures can also fail because strategic changes in each organization may lead to conflict. Direct ownership and production abroad. A firm may decide that it's in its best interest to own a manufacturing facility, either by building a new one, which will be a very lengthy and involved process requiring government permission, or by acquiring an already established foreign firm with existing distribution channels and sales representatives. By owning its facility and having a team of employees, the firm will have a higher level of control than with any of the other methods. The costs associated with this method can be quite high, and there's significant risk in investing in a foreign venture, including declining markets, devaluation, political changes or unrest, and nationalization. Other global trading arrangements. Once the commitment has been made to participate in international trade, other providers can help. One can outsource production abroad to avoid cost-prohibitive exporting of some goods, but the method of selling the goods still needs to be arranged in one of the ways discussed above. In another example, customs brokers can manage and coordinate international trade practices and tariffs. They can also be an excellent source of information about cultural nuances, barriers, and requirements. For instance, a South American company may not be familiar with the national holidays in the EU, and a shipment going to France may be delayed if it's due to arrive on one of those days. Some carriers are used to getting answers to their questions regarding a shipment quickly. However, some countries and cultures don't operate that way, and it may take several additional days or weeks for a response or the requested activity to take place.